I want to talk a little bit, go back to Mesillas Yesharim. So Mesillas Yesharim, Rishiva always told us that Musir is Mesillas Yesharim. That was the quote. Musir is Mesillas Yesharim. Yesharim is not an easy sefer to learn. It's probably even harder sefer to actually implement. And both parts are true. It probably took me about, so during Musa said, I learned Musa, sure. Probably took me about 10 years to get a Tom in learning Musa, sure. So, Musa is set up based on the Sulam of Aliyah, of Rapinchas Ben Yor, more about a Zorah. The Mor says that the Torah is maybe the day Zahiris. Zahiris is maybe the day Zahiris. Jesus brings in the keys to precious, etc. If you look how he sets up the Sefer, that's the price. Look how he sets up the Sefer. He sets up the Sefer at the first, there's the Hagdama. The first parak is what he calls Bir Klal Chavis Ho Adam Bailamat, to clarify what are the person's cube in this world. And then, starting from Parabes and onwards, he starts going through the steps of the Braisa. Okay. After he says this whole introduction, he says that we'll see what that is in a second. Etc. So he puts down an approach, he says, which he looks at that as the klal, and all the steps afterwards are going to be the protein. Now the Braisa starts with Tara Mavila de Zahiris, and Zahiris brings it to Zrizas, and Zrizas brings it to Nikias, and the Precious, the Tahara, etc. So the Gemara starts with Torah. Mesillas Yesharim starts with Klal Chavis Adam Bailamat. So the Bali Machshava, the Bali Musar, grapple with that relationship that the Mesillas Yesharim is putting with this Perek, with the rest of the Sefer, and with the Braisa, etc. But there's two approaches. Approach number one is that, like he says, this is the klal. So Tara brings to this klal, and this klal is expressed in the Pratim of Zahiris, Zrizis, etc. Second version is that this is the Tara. Tara brings to Zahiris and to Zrizis, etc. And this is the Tara. Right? So if the Liman of Tara has to bring us to a clarity of understanding Chavis Adam Berlom, that from that point of view, to look at everything else. So I'm going to go with that approach. And the Mesillas Yesharim, you do with it, the Gaon looked at the Sefer and he said that, learned the Sefer, and he said that there was nothing there which was extra. Every point was significant. And the Sefer is difficult to absorb. A lot of different points of view which are difficult, but I wanted to focus on two pratim. So again, this is the Torah talking. Torah brings the Zahiris, etc. This is the Torah talking. He starts off and he says that the yisoid of all of the Voida and the charge of all the Voida is Yisparah v'yisamid etzalad v'machir v'asibir l'amid. The person has to have a clarity what's he trying to do with his life. What is the vision? What is the goal? Where is he going? What does he want to do? Every single thing that he does, the rest of his life. Right? He starts off, so, the person was nivra to misanag al Hashem and lahanas v'ziv shkinasay, to benefit from the pleasure of connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu, And there's no greater pleasure than anything else in the world. But the Makom Eden for that is Olam Haba. And the Bereshit put us into this world to give us ways to get that. That's mitzvahs. And mitzvahs are in this world. Using the world, the world can act as some type of a masva, as a mask to distract you from this goal. And a person should be careful how he uses this world. He shouldn't use it in a world in a way which is going to distract him from this goal. Now he starts off the paragraph and says, "This is chayvus adam b'lama. This is your chiyuv." And he says, "Okay, this is the chiyuv. What's the goal? Pleasure. The person is never lezanig al Hashem. So I say, tell the kid, here's the deal. This is your chiyuv. You must eat lollipops. You know, most kids don't need chiyuv to eat lollipops." So the students often tell me, "This is chavos adam alama. This is I have to teach you this lesson." He says, and Chazal said, "What is it? Adam is never lisanag al Hashem. So what's the chiyuv?" Right, so the answer is that if it be lollipops, it would be pretty easy. Comment is not lollipops, and we don't see the lollipop. We see spinach. We have to learn that spinach is very good for you. We have to learn that it's tasty and it's nothing like it. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. Right? So we have to train ourselves. That's the chayv. The chayv is to train ourselves that there's nothing better. And we get distracted along the way because the Russian decides, you know, that the person is, it was never to have this yardness. It would be very clear that this is the greatest toy that there is. This is the greatest pleasure that there is. You know, we are wired to enjoy pleasure because that makes sense. If that's the whole purpose, is we should enjoy, we should have pleasure. We are wired to enjoy pleasure. And it'd be very clear that this is the greatest pleasure. The lines to get into Gan Eden would be very backed up. You know, would be very crowded. But the Russian wanted to make it an Nisoyan. Now he made the Nisoyan not fair. So Rabaron, the Mishnah of Rabaron, Rabaron Kotler Zatzal, he says, you have to understand, the Russian made the world, and we don't see a lot of people getting to the finish line. Right? They don't seem to get to that portal going into Gan Eden, ready to have this Eden HaGadol that they're supposed to get. Probably Roy of the world is not making it to there. And that's being generous, right? Like a lot of us that don't seem, we're Halavai, we're hoping we should get there. We should be more than Beinonim. Right? But, Halavai, we should be Beinonim. Right? That's right? So, what's the take I'm supposed to be? If we see that the Bereshit says he created the world for this purpose. The Hashem was created the world because he wants to make it to Adam, and this is the greatest toy that's possible, and that's why he created the world. And that's so. If forever the world is not making it there, how are you supposed to eat that? What are you supposed to say to that? He says the only way we can understand that is by assuming that the value that the Hashem places on a person getting there under the most difficult circumstances is so valuable that it's worth it for him to lose some people along the way. That's the only conclusion you're going to have. If we know the Rosh Hashanah is a Meitiv, and the Rosh Hashanah wants to be Meitiv, and this is the best type, and the Rosh Hashanah created the world in order to be Meitiv, and we don't see it happening, what are we supposed to conclude? That the Hatava, which is offered, is so valuable, being a result of the challenge, it's so valuable and so important to him that he's willing to forgo the fact that some people will be lost. So like Rabbi Chaim says in other places, he talks about that because otherwise it's Nahamad al-Khsufa. You're not going to enjoy the pleasure. But if you feel that you actually built it and made it, you're going to enjoy that pleasure. And that's the necessary ingredient to the pleasure. So Hashem made the challenge tremendous that we should feel good when we get there. But the bottom line is, we need to absorb this message that this is Toiv. Kolzman, we don't understand that it's Toiv. It's very hard to get us to be motivated to do what we're supposed to do, above and beyond a sense of responsibility, which has limits. We need to absorb that this is it. This is the goal in life. So, Yisrael Chassidus, Rosh Hashanah, which is Barav Yisama, says, it has to be borer, it has to be clear. It doesn't have a confusion about it, and it should be confident that's the truth. We grapple with that. We're not confident that's the truth. We haven't absorbed that. So there's emes and there's emes. We're not denying we're believers. We're not denying that, but there's emes and there's emes. There's an emes which is so clear to me that I'm willing to do whatever it takes, because if I tell the person, I said, listen, if you can control yourself for the next 10 minutes, I'll give you $1 billion, and I put the bag of the money right there next to him. Most people can control themselves for any single challenge that we have at that point in time. Right? Because it's so emes to us. So we want to try to get to that level of emes. Now, the challenge is we don't see the money, and the challenge is not 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, probably even I wasn't so clear, probably I could control myself. I says, but this is a geshmaka shikol lashon hara, or it's a geshmaka of taiva, a geshmaka, bittles, whatever it is. Now, I want you to learn about smarter rabba, do not focus on anything else, but just focus on learning for 10 minutes. Maybe we could handle it, right, for a large sum of money. Maybe not, right? But everybody has their price, as the saying goes, right? But we don't have that beer. We don't have that imus. It's not clear to us. And that's the chayv. The chayv of our lives is to get that clarity. That's the chayv that the Mesil Sharm is offering us. The chavos of Elamoy is to get to be mispara misamas etzalotim. The next step is pretty clear. Once it's borer and it's emes, we'll figure out how to deal. We'll figure out how to implement it into lamaisa. Once I understand that this is the greatest pleasure that there is, A, the Rosh Hashanah created me for pleasure. B, it's a no-brainer that I'm going to do it. It doesn't take that much. The challenge is getting that clarity. And the Rosh Hashanah created distractions along the way. The moshel which they give, person was given, he won this major lottery, he's given an hour in the vault of Tiffany's to take out whatever he wants. Take out whatever he wants, take out the most valuable jewels, gold, silver, whatever he wants, he gets an hour to cart away whatever there is he can get his hands on. But it's Tiffany's, you know. I mean, I've never been to Tiffany's, but you know, it's Tiffany's, you know. So besides the fact that there's jewels, that there's, you know, they have an orchestra playing music over there. It's the most gorgeous music you ever heard. And there's food. I mean, sumptuous, you know, sumptuous food fit for royalty. So he comes in, he says, you know, he sees this food. Actually, he's dreamt his whole life to have that food. Right? He says, you know what? 55 minutes worth of the vault is worth 5 minutes to have this food that he's dreamt about his whole life, you know, this fancy, you know, type of a dish. And they're playing a piece of music. It's probably the most difficult piece of music, and they're playing it gorgeous, and it's a gorgeous sound. So 5 minutes to listen to that, so I'll have 50 minutes left in the vault. Mekahena, Mekahena. And all of a sudden he realizes he has 5 minutes left. So he grabs the thing closest next to him, right? Takes it out, you know. Time's up. So he takes it, they have it appraised, and they appraise it, you know, it's worth $300 million. So what's his feeling? $300 million? No. His feeling is idiot. If that's what I got in a few seconds, imagine what I could have gotten in an hour. That's the moshel. The nimshel you know, Chofetz Chaim has his mimshel, you know, the Ura has it now with, you know, with Shmalt, you know, going to the island and come back with Shmalt, you know. It's so not fair. It's so not fair. The Russian makes it so scintillating and so. It seems to look good, it seems to taste good, it seems to feel good. And whatever it is. But the issue is distractions. So, how do you overcome distractions? So, Bereshit does a chesed, and he has something called Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And because I'll say, Hashem Ori B'Yishi, Hashem is Ori B'Rosh Hashanah, Yishi B'Yom Kippur. Ori is, there's a clarity, there's a light. There are moments where we get to rise above the moment and say, you know what? The way I spend my year is not the way I want to spend my year. I don't like that approach. It doesn't seem to make sense. Because when you rise above the year and you look down, it's not the best way you could spend your year. And the mailer that comes to the moment of immersion says, okay, but last year you didn't do it well. I'm going to remove the inclinations that you have towards the Ra, called Yom Kippur. So there's an Or and there's a Yeshua. Remember, the Rishon takes the Yeshua, he cleanses you out. So you have a better chance to do it this year. And from that vantage point, things are very clear. And you're like, why am I wasting? I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to get involved in things I shouldn't get involved in. But if I don't use that clarity to put in Gedorim for myself and Kabbalah for myself, which I will, from this moment of clarity, I will recognize that they're important. And there are clear enough to me that I will respect them and do them in the coming year. Somewhere in the middle of Shvat, it's not going to be so clear anymore. And I'm not going to, and I'm going to get distracted, and I'm going to come again to the next year and say, you know what? There, I did it again. One of the distractions that the Yetzer Hara uses is a little more. So that's why some places you have to learn from the Yetzer Hara. Right? The Yetzer Hara says, it's time to omit. It says, a few more minutes. So he says, let's try the other round. The Yetzer Hara comes and says, let's do an Aveira. He says, a few more minutes. I'm not saying we'll do the Aveira. I'll do the Aveira, just not now. Because I need to finish this what I'm doing right now. So we should learn from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara does it very well. Now, I mentioned before that I have an overreading problem. Not an overreading problem. That you notice. Right? I have an overreading problem that I can very easily get absorbed in a book, and then I'm, And I admit that, that it starts always with, I'm only going to read for 5 minutes. And an hour later, I'm still reading. And I haven't fallen into this trap once. I haven't fallen into this trap 10 times. I've fallen into this trap hundreds of times. Now, I'm not an unintelligent person. I'm not a super person. So the Yetzer Hara comes along and convinces me that this time is going to be different. So I mentioned to you once that Rishon LeZion says over, says the Yetzer is called Melech Zaken Uksil. So Melech Zaken, I understand, he's been around for a long time. What's Uksil? He's not a fool. He says, certain people are, their title of their work, they're named after what they work in. So, woodworkers are called woodworkers because they work with wood. And, glass blowers are called glassblowers because they work with glass. And he says, and Yetzer is called Uksil because he works with idiots. Like, you really believe that this time is going to be different? Really? Like, why is this time going to be different? So, but while I'm in it, there's something very enticing. I like to read, and I shouldn't read very long. So the answer comes along and says, listen, you like to read, and you shouldn't read very long. I'm not going to actually read very long. And since I want to listen to it, I listen to it. But if I don't come to the moment of clarity, and Rosh Hashanah says, if I go back honestly and account the amount of hours that I spent last year doing things that I don't want to do, I'm not happy, because of course it always happens, usually right either when I have to do something very important, or late at night when I need to go to sleep. So I end up not having enough sleep that I can't learn well the next day, or daven well, or whatever it is. And then you know, Yetzer has me just where he wants. So I have a short fuse, and I get more upset about something where I shouldn't get upset about it, and then I say something that affects my relationship with the person, and it has it all worked out. It's great. Why? Because I read the book for 5 minutes / hour and a half. But I look back now with the clarity of the aura of Rosh Hashanah saying, I didn't want to do that. So now is the time to undertake a commitment and say, no, I'm going to create gedorim and limits for someone who's not shreif. You know, it's very, very inspiring. What do I read? You know, I'm reading novels, you know. I'm reading books, I read biographies of gedolim, you know, askanim. I'll read a science text sometimes. I'm reading something treif. But there's a time and place for everything, right? So the Yetzer Hara has, you know, it's very important. You should know this piece of information. Like, you know, it's not even politics. I don't read politics. I just don't find it, you know, this year for sure not, right? Like, somebody recently gave me a very good uptight sheet. He touched up the Tut Starim. It was Vashti and Achashverosh. I think it's a phenomenal uptight, you know. Just go figure out which one you choose. Who would you vote for? Vashti or Achashverosh? Do we have a third option, please? Right? You know, like, no Cheshek. Okay, so that's the time is to make a kapola now and say that, you know, where are your weak end, where are your loose ends? Where does it happen? Those are the times that you can't do that. How are you going to stick to that? What are you going to do to make sure that you stick with that? What do you do that when it's broken? Well, be it a kanas, be it a motivation, you do it positively. You were challenged and you controlled yourself. So what do you get to do? You get to read a book after. No, that's not a good idea. Try something else. Right? Right? So what are you going to do? A plan. A real plan. Okay, so that's my Yetzer Hara. Bershom, you know, I'm over. You can tell by the beard that I'm over a certain age. Next generation, that's not the Yetzer Hara. I don't think most guys can only read Yetzer Hara as books. There's smartphones, right, or something else. How much time did a person spend on using that this year on games? Like, I remember I told you that the story with Babe, you know, when Babe Ruth passed away. So Babe Ruth died, and Reb Chatzkel Levenstein was in America at the time. He walks into the Beis Medrash, and there's this major tumult going on in the Beis Medrash. So he asked him, you know, what's the kishen? So they said, Babe Ruth died. So who's Babe Ruth? You know, this is Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. You know, this is Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. His own daughters had a pachad from the kedusha of Reb Chatzkel. So he said he was a baseball player. Vosu does baseball. You know, so you explain it to him. You know, you have a guy with a stick, and a guy throws a ball, and he tries to hit the stick with the ball. Okay? So from that, if you describe it like that, it's not very intelligent. It's not very exciting. Right? It's like describing football. There's this piece of chazer skin, right, with 11 guys killing each other over it. It doesn't sound very intelligent. So Reb Chatzkel looks at them, and he says, "Nu, vasik shang sang ben avaya." Like, after you extrapolate like this, so what they say by what was the husband? Like, you know, what do you say by the funeral at the end after such an interesting topic? Like, you know, like, so they said, you know, that Babe Ruth, his father abandoned the family very young, and he was raised as an orphan without a father. He had a father, but the father abandoned the family. So he had a very soft spot for orphans. He used to spend a lot of time visiting orphanages and making kids feel good. And that was the main topic of the by the eulogies. So Reb Chatzkel said, here's a Chaim Bocher. He says, you didn't follow him and were interested in him because of the fact that he visited orphanages. You were interested in him because he hits the ball with the stick. Right? But when it comes to Yerma Akron, when it comes to Yom Acharon, what do they say? They said he did chesed. At the moment of clarity, we understand that that's not what it's about. So nowadays, you can't even say it's exercise. It's maybe thumbs, you know, like, you know, you're doing, you know, like this, you know, the whole day. You're like, and I'm good at it. I spent hours and hours and hours of my life. I'm being good at this. Are you idiots? Are we idiots? Do we call that normal? So from the moment of clarity, Rosh Hashanah, from an old man who I'm not excited about the sticks with the balls either, but this one is even like, you know, this I get it a little bit. Why do you want to come a year from now and say, you know what, yeah, I spent, and I would make a suggestion. The best way to do it is like this. All right, it's a little bit late now. Keep a log of how many hours you spend a day doing it. Whatever it is that you don't want to be doing, you're not happy with it, and you look in the face and say, you know what, I spent X amount of hours of my life just wasted. Suicide. I killed time. Whatever that is that you don't want to do, that you want to change, stop for a moment and look back and make at least a general cheshbon of how much time you spent on it, which you didn't want to do. You really didn't want to do it. And you're asking me to want to do it. Like those guys are, Rabbi, I really, really want to do this. And then, okay, what are you going to do now in this week to make sure that you don't do it, end up a few months from now in the same spot? That's the void of the clarity of Rosh Hashanah. To understand that what is toiv, and why it's a toiv, because we get confused what toiv is, and we have moments we understand what toiv really is, and the clarity of, and take that clarity of what toiv really is, apply it into our lives, and make us the people that we will fill our chavasa b'lamai, because we will know what toiv is and make sure that we do the toiv.